On RN, this is The List, and I'm Cassie McCullough. One of the fastest moving people on the Forbes Rich List released in September was Nicholas Woodman. He's said to be worth around $3.9 billion US. How has he done it? He's the creator and founder of GoPro, a company that makes small, portable action cameras. He's not the only one making them, but GoPro has become synonymous with the extreme end of self-documentation, the shoot-and-share phenomenon. List producer Wendy Zuckerman looks at what's driving the popularity of these cameras.
3, 2, 1. Let's try this out. That was so scary!
No way.
Oh my gosh.
For around a decade, the GoPro has been used to document the exploits of mountain bikers, base jumpers, surfers, snowboarders, and divers. Strapping on these portable cameras, extreme sports people film and upload their adventures for all and sundry to see. But the real boom for this company has been the recent transition from adventure athletes looking for bragging rights to not-so-adventurous parents. That's a little girl on a skateboard. And it's garnered over 1 million views on YouTube. These cameras are highly versatile, hard-wearing, waterproofable, and produce broadcast-quality vision. And they're capturing every aspect of life.
Let's take off those training wheels.
Recently, I caught up with two people who know these portable cameras intimately. Cohen Summers is a spokesperson from GoPro, and Rick Kelly is a V8 supercar driver who often films his races. I asked Cohen Summers how the cameras are being used today.
From everything you can possibly imagine. So it could be used to capture your son's first bike ride. It could be, you know, like my mom uses it because I want to remember the recipes, you know, when she's making her classic Japanese food that I want to be able to pass along to my children. Like I've got those videos and the photos of like what a real smidgen of salt means or what a handful of this or a handful of that. So, you know, you kind of look across the board from surgeons that want to highlight and educate knee surgeries and back surgeries and shoulder surgeries to, you know, what Rick Kelly's doing out there. Driving the V8 supercars.
And when did that shift really happen?
You know, in my mind, it obviously started as the camera just became more involved and we became to use it more and more and more. We see like, oh, why couldn't I use this for giving it to my mom and her doing that? And it's just kind of that, what could I use this camera for outside of maybe the original intention that I bought it for?
Rick Kelly, it feels like the success of this sort of camera could partly be attributed to this culture we have today of filming ourselves and uploading it. If this camera had become available in the 1970s, do you think it would have been so successful?
Yeah, the culture would have developed in that era. You see the pictures from this, you know, the 70s and 80s of real people being strapped to the front of race cars with a huge camera in their hand to try and capture, you know, live race car vision. These days you can put a camera there and just forget it's there. And, you know, we just come off the Bathurst 1000 on the weekend. I had a camera in the car for the very first time capturing still images. There was a red flag. The race was stopped for a little bit while they made track repairs and I was able to grab the GoPro out of the car, upload pictures to Instagram whilst the race was still on and people could view inside the car and the accidents and stuff that were happening and different events from my perspective.
I think a lot of it's attributed to technology more than anything, you know, with the bandwidth of the internet. I think it's, you know, kind of goes hand in hand. Not is it like that we are narcissistic, but I think it's more that we have a way to tell that story. I think, again, if you go back to the 70s and 80s, if we had a way to do that, we would have done that.
This is the Narrative Clip, a wearable 5-megapixel camera and GPS that lets you capture all of life's moments. How? It takes a photo every 30 seconds. There is no on-off button. If you see the clip, it's on. But if you lay it face down or place it in your pocket...
That is an ad not for a GoPro, but a camera that you can attach to your body and it will continuously take photos of your life without you pressing a button. Clearly, there's a consumer demand for this. Why?
Because what if something happens that you don't film? That's the thing. You do not want to miss it, do you?
Well, you wouldn't miss it. You would be in that moment and living it.
For sure, you get to experience it, but you don't get to share it. That's the big thing. You don't want to miss something.
I feel like that is a very of the now thought.
I don't think it's just of now. I mean, just like before, maybe like I'm a huge fisherman. I go out fishing and, you know, like if I caught the biggest fish I've ever caught in my life, what am I going to do when I go home? I'm going to tell my friends that my fish was this big and, you know, it's going to get bigger and bigger as I tell the story. But like with a camera, like a GoPro, now I can not only tell that story, I can share that with them.
But don't you think there is something wonderful about how memory prunes and refines? And now you have these cameras that film everything so accurately, and they say, well, actually that kiss wasn't that good, and that view from the mountain was actually quite bland.
But it's an interesting one. Do you honestly think that your memory is enough? Like for me, my best mate was my dog Fritz. He was with me for 15 years and he passed away. And for me, you have memories of him and what he was like as a puppy and growing up, and towards the end of it, how he would play. And I have great memories of that. But me being able to pull vision out and watch him playing with that ball, you see him and go, it just brings back so many memories. And over time, your memory changes of what that used to be like. So if you're able to actually pull that out and relive it and relook at it and remember what that was like, is completely different to what your memory was. And it's not just with, you know, my old dog Fritz, it's with your family, it's when you're growing up. You pull out your photos, you know, when I was 2 and 3 years old, I didn't remember that I looked like that, and you love to look at it. If I had vision of myself as a kid, I would love to look at that.
That's V8 supercar racing driver Rick Kelly, along with Colin Summers, a spokesperson for GoPro.
All right, Skelly, you ready? Come here, baby. Come with Dada.
Now, while portable cameras and online platforms are making it easier for us to film and share, and perhaps overshare our lives, an outfit from San Francisco is turning this filming culture on its head. They're giving donated high-definition cameras to homeless people, so allowing those on the street to capture their stories.
I see a quarter. Oh, no. Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Oh, 2 quarters. Oh, God, it's my lucky day. Oh, a dime. A dime. A penny.
Co-founders of Homeless GoPro, Erica Barraza and Kevin Adler, spoke to The List via Skype.
Oh, my God, 61 cents. I hit the jackpot.
The Homeless GoPro project was our attempt to use the cameras that are often associated with a wild, adventurous lifestyle and look at the raw human experience in something that's a lifestyle that's rarely seen but often felt.
Really, this project is capturing a firsthand perspective in contrast to kind of the reality TV that we all, you know, we can see, and it's very sensational. This gives us up close and personal perspective in concert with the homeless individuals to help them capture their stories and show the world as they see it.
Kevin, how have the homeless people themselves involved in this project reacted to their lives going online?
Well, we've worked with 9 homeless autobiographers so far. As one example, Adam Reichert, who was the first homeless individual we worked with, he said that seeing the videos and helping to shape the videos that were captured of his life really made him feel a greater sense of self-worth and self-esteem, that his story matters and that his perspective is one that needs to be shared with others. In the same way that we rely on social media and GoPros and other bits of technology to share portions of our life, homeless people are defined by what they lack, being homeless. And even though they don't have something, they still have a lot of perspective and experience to share. And so this project really was born from a desire to help those individuals who oftentimes don't have a voice to share their life with those who maybe use this technology for other purposes.
Have a good day, brother.
That's Erica Barraza and Kevin Adler from Homeless GoPro, speaking with The List's producer, Wendy Zuckerman.